We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics trending.
Number one, of course, the Chiefs 1-0 start to the 2020 season. The run it back tour has begun, 34-20 over the Texans, and the performance last night from rookie Clyde Edwards-Helaire. All the hype, all the attention as advertised. Buck 38 on the ground and a touchdown. And one run in particular that had everybody talking. Kansas City Chiefs with just a stress-free win is how I would describe it, man. Stress-free for fans, and even I feel like from a team, like it kind of just in cruise control overall. They didn't have to open up the full bag of tricks. Very, very impressive opening night to the season. We were wondering how sloppy it would be. Even if you took away the pandemic, this would have
pretty
been
clean for the Chiefs.
A type of performance where 34-20. You look at the score, like all right, it was maybe close at times. Or the fourth quarter, the Texans outscored the Chiefs. No. Anybody that watched the game knows that Patrick Mahomes outperformed Deshaun Watson. The Chiefs were up 31-7 at one point in time. This was a beatdown by Kansas City, and it looked like they didn't even have to do a whole lot to accomplish that.
No, it was easy. It was easy all game. Andy went for that fourth down on like that. We didn't even talk about that. Andy went for that like fourth and inches on his own 34-yard line, and the game was over like right then. Like that was it. Andy's like, look, guys, this is an inch. I can get an inch. So we're just going to go and call it here, hand it off to Sherman, and then just be done with it the rest of the way. Number two for what's trending. I know it butted up against the Chiefs win, but Brady Singer flirted with a no-hitter last night. He went eight innings, allowed one hit and no runs. Got himself up to almost 120 pitches in the effort. Lost the no-hitter in the eighth inning, but obviously everybody feeling pretty good about his performance overall. The Royals just a few games left to go. Mike Matheny said after the game, he'd have let Singer go as long as it took to go down the no-hitter. But I know he didn't complete the no-hitter, so talking about almost no-hitters isn't nearly as fun. But that was a hell of a pitching performance last night from Brady Singer.
It was interesting, though, because as everybody really started to figure out what was going on, everybody's geared up, getting ready for the Chiefs game, and then you had this Royals potential history being broken.
Well, maybe get out the iPad so I can put the game on.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people did that. There was nothing that was going to take away from the Chiefs opening night. Like, even if he completed the history, we'd be talking about it. It'd be this great thing. But the Chiefs, I think we realize where they're at right now. I mean, we're still talking about the Chiefs team coming off of a Super Bowl. There was no way was it going to deter people pregame. I'll be honest, pregame, the audio was still on NBC pregame more than the Royals game last night. It was all about the Chiefs last night. But you know what's great about Brady Singer is that's a piece for the future. And that's why, while we're talking about them now only having the fourth or fifth worst record in baseball, at least if they're going to win with Brady Singer doing
yes.
that. Win with Bubich, who bitches tonight,
Mondesi,
by the way. Mondesi.
Who hit a homer
going.
Last night.
Yeah, like, win with the guys that we know are going to be or hope to be key parts of the future going forward. Next up on What's Trending, you heard from Serta during his update a little bit. Injury news. Charvarius Ward's got the fractured hand surgery today. Going to get with a cast. 10 days until the next game. So there's the possibility he still doesn't miss any time. We'll see how it all transpires, the timeline. We know players play with a cast at that position before. I just wonder, he's a physical corner. Can he still do that? Can he still be effective with a cast? That's a question they're going to have answered. Fortunately, though, it does come off of a Thursday night game, so you got a little bit more time to figure it out. They can probably get by past the Chargers also without Ward. But it gets a little trickier because as good as Snead played, all of a sudden he'd be your number one corner against the Chargers if Ward isn't able to go.
Yes. Now, it was, he played well, right? So that'll make you feel a little bit better. But it's still, it depends on whether or not, we're not going to hear from the Chiefs until Monday. The exclusive Andy Reid press conference will be this Monday on Cody and Gold. You'll hear it only on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio. But Andy's not going to give us an update until then. And again, it wouldn't be uncommon for a guy to play there. To me, that would be dodging a serious bullet. If you're able to get Charvarius Ward back on the field immediately, let's say it's not even this game, but instead it's the next game for, the Ravens, a team I think is the second best team in the NFL.
that would be a really nice sign. But they're going to need continued progression from all those guys, including another good game by L'Jarius Sneed, who have a difficult matchup. Not the most difficult in the Chargers because Keenan Allen plays in the slot. But, you know, decent talent on that side, too. So if he's able to dodge any kind of real injury there, I think you've got to feel pretty good about it. Number four for what's trending, the national title odds are out. We get the actual college football this weekend. I know you're excited for KU, K-State. We'll talk about them in a minute. The national title odds are out. Kansas not in the leaderboard.
Oh,
Clemson and
shocking.
Alabama currently with the highest odds to win the national title. Clemson at 2-1, Alabama 3-1. Those are higher than normal odds because essentially there's only three conferences that can beat them out for it. Georgia, Florida, and then Oklahoma at 12-1 coming in at the rear. This feels like if you'd give me the national title odds for almost any other season except for Florida's higher than normal because of the whole three conference thing.
No, we're in this era right now where it's like every year you can guess who are the national title favorites? So I'm guessing it's Clemson. I'm guessing it's Alabama. If Ohio State was playing, I'm guessing Ohio State would be in the mix. Like it's just where we're at. We know who the three or four teams are. It goes back to when we saw the SEC do their scheduling. They
sure
know in their own conference. Florida, LSU, and Alabama have the best chance to win the title. It's the usual suspects, when it comes to
who has
a chance to win the national championship this year. Next up, you brought it up there a little bit with Kansas and Kansas State. The Big 12 college football season does get going this weekend. Kansas State tomorrow will host Arkansas State, 11 a.m. kickoff. It's the featured game also for Fox. And also, of course, you can hear K-State football here as well. And then later in the evening, I shouldn't say in the evening, how about late at night, Kansas hosting Coastal Carolina, 9 o'clock kickoff on FS1.
Got that sweet prime 9P slot when there are like four college football games.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they're going to be the only game in town for that great great showdown against Coastal Carolina. Of course, Coastal won last year. I'll have a new Wave in the Wheat podcast, by the way, up this afternoon on the 435 Podcast Network, checking in and previewing them a little bit and what to expect. Remember, it was, 12-7 loss last year?
That
brutal
game
to witness.
Did you go?
I did not. But
I know Fast Talking Rob's a season ticket holder in the afternoons.
Is he going? There's no fans allowed tomorrow. I was about to say, is Rob going to the game tomorrow? Yeah, it's college football, though, man. It is college football, and we'll see if Kansas can avoid another embarrassing loss to Coastal Carolina. K-State, at least their opponent, has already played
a game.
They
will.
K-State they already have an opponent that played, though. Arkansas State's 0-1, so K-State's got some film on there. We'll see how year number two goes for Chris Klieman.
Over under 0.5 wins for Kansas.
Oh,
1.5. There it is.
Over.
That's optimistic.
No more than
two. How about K-State at 6.5?
Yeah,
well, five. I guess now it's 4.5. Their schedule changed a lot, yeah. I think they're I think K-State's a 500 team and comes back a little bit during this time. And I think KU wins one game and it's tomorrow. So enjoy it, Gold. Hey, at least we get actual local college football tomorrow. That's kind of a nice treat.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's going to have to buy my time until I can get to NFL Sunday.
No, I'm watching. I mean, you asked me earlier off air. You're like, what are you doing this weekend, Gold? And I was like, last week was the lake. So this week it's staying home and it's sitting on the couch and watching college football. And then Sunday it's all about NFL Red Zone and gambling. And we'll have some picks coming up in the 1 o'clock hour too. Some locks hopefully for the weekend. We got Survivor League going on. Yeah, football, baby. That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Before we go inside the huddle, brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City here for good. Reminder coming up in 20 minutes at 12:30, your next chance to win a specialty pizza from our friends over at The Other Place. Each and every Friday at 10:30 and 12:30, your opportunity here on Cody and Gold to win a pizza from The Other Place. So you'll be listening to what we have to say here in the next 20 minutes. We're going to ask you about something that we do bring up and discuss. And we do start inside the huddle
here. Will it be more Mitch Holtis button issues?
Yes. Can I hear him again?
That's just a laugh of his.
Just him laughing?
Serta said I can use whatever I want in here.
The Mitch Holtis button isn't just play-by-play calls.
No, it's whatever I want it to be. It's anything and everything that exists in this system. That's all you have to know.
Blah, blah, blah.
I can play whatever Mitch I want.
Okay, there it is. It was great to hear Mitch Holtis last night over on 106.5 The Wolf morning.
Did you miss the touchdown Kansas City calls?
Oh, I did, man.
Did you miss it?
Great. If you followed our Twitter account last night, there were play-by-play calls being tweeted out all night on @610SportsKC, and I may or may not have just clicked on them multiple times because it was nice to hear again. It's been a while. Last time we heard it, of course, was final call of the game, Super Bowl champs. But it was very nice to hear Mitch Holt this last night.
Everybody back in their element. Our guy Kling on the sidelines over at 106.5 The Wolf with Danon and Mitch. It was bringing everything back. It had been too long since we watched football. Felt good. Felt like we were back in our element last night.
No question. And you feel really good, too, knowing not just that you got the win last night if you're Kansas City, but you feel like you got the win and you didn't have to let much out of the bag, really, in terms of the play calling. What you got also in particular from the rookies, like all the rookies and what they were able to do. Yes, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who we've talked about plenty throughout the show and throughout this offseason, and he is as advertised right out of the gate, but Legarius Sneed, who now with the Ward injury becomes maybe even more important than what he already was. And last night we were wondering what that secondary would look like with Breshad Breeland on suspension for four games. Mix and match. It was not as much mix and match as you thought. Now, Antonio Hamilton played, and some of it is because Ward was out, but Antonio Hamilton on that first series, I believe when they went into one of their packages, Antonio Hamilton was still out there getting snaps on series number one, but Legarius Sneed was clearly the number two corner last night for the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, there's no doubt about that. He might have to be the number one corner against the Chargers, depending on what happens for Ward. But the rookies overall, you come away from that game, it was one of the biggest positives between Helaire. Sneed got something we didn't expect to see for the pick that he was in fourth round right away, and they had talked him up, but didn't expect that. And then even you go to your punter, like what you got from your rookie punter, a punt inside the five. Like all around, the rookies were very impressive to open up. And week one, too, there was no delay. The only guy that we
talked about that being a problem for rookies who didn't have normal cam.
The only guy we were missing out on was Willie Gay Jr. I thought he was going to play a lot more. He barely played last night.
I hope he does. I mean, we just joked about how the Pro Football Focus grades are deceiving because Deshaun Watson rated higher than Patrick Mahomes last night, and Frank Clark only had a blah grade, and I think if you watched Frank Clark play last night, you would feel very different about his performance. But the average grade for the three linebackers in Hitch and Neiman and Wilson last night was like 30. Okay, they were all not great. They were the three lowest graded defenders, according to Pro Football Focus, on the entire field for the Chiefs defense last night, were Hitchens, Neiman, and Wilson. So, yeah, they're going to need Willie Gay Jr. to eventually come into that, but that's not going to deter me from the rest of it because the team looked good. They had everything together last night, even though it seemingly didn't even come from like I wouldn't even have called it difficult. They didn't look like, oh my God, this team is an unstoppable force, and they still dropped 34. That should be what's concerning to you. Andy Reid admitted last night he was pretty impressed with the rookies.
I compliment our veteran players for that because they welcomed these guys in, and then our coaches for doing a nice job. I mean, if you look at the coordinator, Spags has done a phenomenal job, and his coaching staff of making sure the young guys worked in there. EB and our offensive staff have done the same thing, and then Dave always believes that, listen, if they're not going to be able to work in on the offense or defense, they can learn angles and speed on special teams and still be effective. So all the coaches believe in that. And then Brett has done a nice job of drafting, first of all, and then bringing our team back together.
I think when you look at their performance last night, it is a lot because you know how much easier it is to be Legarius Sneed if the defensive line is wrecking things. That's why you didn't notice the linebackers not playing as well early in the game, because they made up for all of that because of how good the defensive line played. That makes Legarius Sneed's job easier. If the offensive or the defensive line doesn't play particularly great, that'll be it. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire game is probably understated too. He had 6 carries for -2 yards on the goal line. He ran for 7.5 yards a carry absent that. So maybe that means we have some goal line problems, because that was bad.
Yeah, both
offensive line and
on
for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But at every other stage, they were tremendous. It's been a long time. I've watched plenty of games where the Chiefs have blown a team out. I've watched games where the Chiefs have gotten blown out. You watch a lot of NFL football. So do you, Serta. There aren't many games like last night where it just seems like the other team is like, that was what we saw about the Patriots when we would call them boring Super Bowl champions. You're like, it's so boring, and they just win by 10 or 12, and last night 14, and it was just never a problem. And it wasn't the blowout in the way where they just like get, interception returns on you and a punt return and an 80-yard touchdown. They just beat you to death slowly, and it was just, because it wasn't like the most exciting Chiefs game, and they still just did it. Problem, without a problem.
No, they did it without big plays. They didn't need the big plays last night. They were long, methodical drives. It was a clean game, barely any penalties whatsoever, none on defense, which is pretty remarkable to imagine that. They didn't have the turnover. Like it was a clean football game for the Kansas City Chiefs, and yeah, they were in seemingly cruise control. And normally, sometimes you say cruise control, you view that in a negative way, like, hey, you got to keep your foot on the gas. But overall, they were down 7-0, and then once they got the touchdown to tie it up, it was smooth sailing the rest of the way. That score is not indicative of
really... I kind of want them to go for it at midfield in the fourth. But it was really unnecessary.
It should scare the rest of the NFL because it showed a level of discipline. And you don't always see that from them specifically. They've struggled with penalties, it seems like, every year under Andy Reid. Like, they always struggle with penalties. And, you know, and Pat's flashy. This offense is flashy. You want 60-yard touchdowns. You want bombs and things like that. The fact that they could be disciplined enough to say, okay, we don't have to do that this week. We can just let Clyde cruise this thing out to a victory.
They showed restraint.
Means that they are serious about doing this again.
And how many games are we going to see Clyde have 25 carries? That tells you all you need.
I would guess less than one more the entire year.
Yeah, I was really surprised to see that. And a lot of it was the goal line opportunities that they got. And I just think there wasn't a lot of creativity near the goal line because they didn't need it. It wasn't a necessity. It's not something they need to do that. And it may not even be needed next week against the Chargers. We'll see just how much of a different game plan overall you have. I mean, Mecole Hardman, we'll talk about him in about 10 minutes or so. Like, Mecole Hardman wasn't really part of this team last night for the most part, right? I mean, based on the snap percentage that he had, it was clearly DeMarcus Robinson. We'll talk about D-Rob here in about 12 minutes or so. Also, in 12 minutes, your chance to win that specialty pizza from the other place, your final chance today to have the opportunity to do that. But, yeah, you leave last night. It's just one of those stress-free games. It was just really nice to see overall. And then you get to enjoy this weekend and hope that these injuries turnarounds are quick. Talking about Charvarius Ward and Colin Saunders and this, you know, the elbow injury that he's facing. But last night was just a smooth beat down without actually having the huge monster plays in order to do it. You don't say, oh man, the reason why they blew him out because they had Deshaun Watson threw a bunch of picks, or there was a fumble on a kickoff return or a fake punt that set up a short field or something like that. It was none of that. It was a straightforward beat down without actually having all the flash.
Well, they didn't make any of the mistakes they made against the Titans in the first two games, so this is how much better they are than a playoff team who won their division last year, when they just simply don't screw anything up. And you mentioned the Clyde stat. I mean, you know, the fact that he's the 130 yards and a touchdown in your debut as a rookie running back, the only other three times it's happened guarantees you either rookie of the year or to lead the league in rushing yardage. Saquon Barkley, the last to do so. We know what he's capable of doing. Again, Sammy Watkins was their leading receiver last night. He just picked him apart while they didn't have to do anything else offensively. It was kind of crazy to me.
Yeah, Sammy Watkins with a playoff-type performance week one of the NFL season. Because it was so stress-free, everybody was able to focus also in on the sidelines a little bit, and Andy Reid had the face mask. And if you've seen any of the videos from practice, you know he was wearing this clear face shield. He didn't go with the actual mask, but a face shield. And between,
to not go great.
Between the temperature, between the mist, that thing was fogging up. And it led to some great GIFs on Twitter last night a little bit, because that thing needed some defrost. Majorly.
That was brutal. Yeah, I didn't do very good with that thing. But it will be better the next time. So I appreciate you asking that, though. It was a bit of a mess, but we'll get it fixed.
How is Andy going to talk about his face mask? Like, it's a play that didn't get schemed right, that they missed an open receiver on. It was brutal. Didn't go right. Got to get it fixed.
They do, man. Get him a new mask.
Between the Kermit one against the rainy glass, say Patrick Mahomes trying to talk to Andy, or the Iron Man mask, or the Andalorian where it was Andy as the Mandalorian mask. It was a nice moment on Twitter. Like, Twitter is a cesspool a lot of times.
Now more than
ever.
But
it was a nice moment on social media where we can all come together on one common cause, Gold. To make fun of Andy's fogged up mask.
I'm thinking some fans are going to start buying those instead of, because you have to wear a mask and you wear the shield. Are they going to, if so, there's going to be some fans replicating the Andy Reid face shield, and they're going to be wearing face shields instead of the next home game. But Andy, can Andy not get Oakley or somebody involved here. They got to get him a fog-proof mask. He's going to have mask.
As someone who's been in glasses wear their entire life.
I'm sure
it exists. You ever open a dishwasher, head outside on a humid day?
Cody, it happens when we wear a regular mask.
After leaving the AC.
Just walking outside, man, with the humidity sometimes.
I mean, you wear your contacts sometimes. So yeah. I don't know, you know, what your... I don't know, if the second you get in a car, do you take your glasses off?
No, because I would crash my car.
Okay.
I do not. We would.
I don't know exactly how blind you are, so I'm just checking.
I would not know I would not know what radio station. It's always on 610, of course, but I would never know for sure if it was flipped to another station until I heard it. I can't read it. That's how bad. Cody, the speedometer, I would not be able to read. I am blind without contacts and glasses.
I've never worn glasses or contacts in my
life. So you don't sympathize with Reed at all here, then?
No.
He couldn't see. There's no way he could. And I love it from...
maybe that's why the play calling was so boring.
I can't
conspiracy remember. Theory. He went with a really simple game plan because he's like, damn, I can't read this damn thing. There's no way I can call a complicated play right now. I got to make this simple for myself.
I loved it. And I love his commitment to it. We got to figure something else out, though.
He's got to go mask, doesn't he?
No,
maybe he doesn't like the mask. It's fine not liking the mask, but the face shield isn't going to work on game.
Something tells me the equipment crew or Rick Burkhalter are going to find the best dang mask
possible.
What if
they could get him a helmet with the plastic guard inside that they were making for some place?
Get him one of those super high-tech gas mask-looking ones.
So he's Bane?
Yeah.
Sweet.
I based on his comment too after last night, they're going to have him souped up with a very nice anti-fog mask, whether it's a spray-on type of thing, whether it's just some nice Oakley lens that's on there instead. He's going to be souped up and ready to go, I think, by the time they get to the Chargers game.
I think he should get on the Jackson Mahomes clothing line website and just get the one that says Mahomes across it. And just go mask and really lean into it.
That's what he feels comfortable with, man. And obviously, because the other assistant coach, Eric Bieniemy, he was wearing just a normal mask. Andy, all training camp, had
the
face shield. That's what he is comfortable with.
He's got to change it up.
But you think
game plan's got to move.
You think he only saw the bottom of the play sheet, and so that's what you're saying? It was just the bottom of the play sheet.
That's where the simple plays are.
Okay.
He couldn't find the deeper dives because it's just too complicated. Between the mask, he didn't have a choice.
Yeah, imagine if he actually could see why he was calling the games. Imagine what you would have been able to see out of that. All right, coming up next here on Cody and Gold, your chance to win a specialty pizza from the other place. That's coming up. Plus, D-Rob, were we surprised just how much action he got last night over another guy?
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
And how about this? The Kansas City Chiefs win the last game of the first century of the National Football League, winning Super Bowl 54. They win the first game of the second century of the National Football League with this opening victory, 34-20 over the Houston Texans.
Why does this sound like a scene from Friday Night Lights, Serta?
Oh, what a downer.
This sounds like exactly like a scene from Friday. You cannot tell me this does not sound
an
opening scene to Friday Night Lights.
I just need to keep playing Mitchell if this cuts over because it's really depressing otherwise.
Third down, goal to go at the two for Mahomes. Sprinting to the right side, fires Tyreek Hill. He's got it. Touchdown, Kansas City. The third touchdown pass of the night for Patrick Mahomes. And the Chiefs convert on third and goal from the two.
At least we have this Mitch Holtis button.
Thank goodness.
Otherwise, we would really
be goodness.
Honestly, it does kind of have a weird vibe for that.
I need to look into this.
Yes,
so
please.
We stop Russian rouletting this.
Get rid of this one. Just eliminate it
from
the rotation.
If you could just eliminate the ones that come up that are bad so that the rest of them don't play, that'd be great.
Well, the same one played back-to-back an hour ago. I deleted that one.
Now here we go. There it is. Finally.
Oh, we just had to wait.
45
it was
seconds.
Just 90 seconds.
Now here comes the action scene in the Friday Night Lights video. Look at Saracen throw the pass. Yeah, I've seen Friday Night Lights.
There it is. There it is. Hey, if you want to win that specialty pizza from the other place, we were talking about the wide receivers a little bit. Well, who was the Chiefs' leading wide receiver last night? Let us know. 913-576-7610. First person to call in.
The other place has great pizza, by the way.
The other place is fantastic. You probably heard Carrington a short while ago talking about all the food and specials they got at the other place. But if you know who the Chiefs' leading receiver was last night, 913-576-7610. First caller that knows that will get a specialty pizza. And each and every Friday during the football season at 10:30 and 12:30 here on Cody and Gold, you'll have a chance to win that from the other place. And we are inside the huddle, though, brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield. of Kansas City here for good. And thinking of the wide receivers, pretty stunning to see actually the snap breakdown and what you saw. And it was very noticeable from the beginning. It just wasn't the type of game plan that Mecole Hardman was going to have a big influence on. Mecole Hardman only played 19 of 67 snaps yesterday, 28%. DeMarcus Robinson was the more featured wide receiver. Now, I understand it's 1 week. It'll change. I will be stunned if we're talking all year where there's not a game where Mecole Hardman's out-snapping DeMarcus Robinson. But kind of interesting, especially because of the way the Texans played. If you would have told me going in, the Texans were going to play, you know, off the receivers, cover two defenses, Andy Reid brought up in postgame, and Mecole Hardman, who joined us a few weeks ago, Mecole Hardman said that he was going to get better as an all-around receiver and wanted to be more of an intermediate receiver as well as a deep threat receiver. I would have said, oh, well, this is an opportunity for Mecole Hardman to show it a little bit. He didn't have that opportunity for whatever reason it may be. It's an example. I also think of the Chiefs just holding things back more than there's a more to it that DeMarcus Robinson's going to actually be getting more snaps on a regular basis.
You are being you think real up. No, I thought it was pretty clear. After last night's game, if you were to rank in order the wide receivers as far as number of snaps they're going to get, at least in the interim, it is Tyreek Hill 1, Watkins 2, Robinson 3, and Mecole Hardman 4. How can I not assume that? He had 28% of the snaps in the Super Bowl. He had 28% of the snaps in this game. We've been talking about a leap. His easiest leap was going to be prove that he was definitively the wide receiver 3. Because we knew that they trusted Sammy Watkins and they were going to put him in every game. We never thought that the snaps were necessarily coming there. We knew that Tyreek Hill's the one. The guy he had to jump was D-Rob. And I know that it was a pretty base game, right? Maybe, and they didn't have to show. I told you I thought the chance they could get Mecole Hardman extra snaps this season was in creative ways, the way they used to use Tyreek Hill in the early part of his career. But I thought they made it fairly obvious last night that DeMarcus Robinson is wide receiver 3, and that to me is a bit concerning because in the long run, Mecole Hardman needs to develop into a number 2 wide receiver, and I'm not even saying he can't do that this year because he definitively can, but as of week 1, he is not that high on their depth chart.
The number 1 wide receiver, though, of course, was Sammy Watkins last night, statistically the leading receiver. And congrats to Mark in Shawnee for knowing the answer to that. He's taken home a specialty pizza from the other place. So Sammy Watkins did have 7 grabs for 82 yards and a touchdown. And DeMarcus Robinson, it's not as if DeMarcus Robinson blew up last night, but just it was a clear difference in snaps. DeMarcus Robinson had 3 catches, 20 yards. Mecole Hardman just had 1 reception for 6 yards. So the production wasn't immense from DeMarcus Robinson. He just was clearly more heavily involved,
more.
Yeah, in the offense. And you're
but
right about the snap.
That's Robinson's game.
You're right about the snap count from the Super Bowl. It was 28% for Hardman then. It was 28% last night. I think Hardman eventually gets his. It was one of the biggest surprises for me last night.
What makes you think that, though, just out of curiosity? Hope? Because, no evidence has supported that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you're, breaking it down percentage-wise, yeah, some of it would be, a small percentage would be hope. The other part is a little bit of what you described there and what I would say, which is that knowing that the playbook wasn't fully open last night a little bit. That's maybe what I'm banking on more than anything else, and knowing still when they are going to need to take shots deeper down the field, I think Mecole Hardman, that's still where he's going on the big play, big receptions. What was it? 5 of his touchdowns were 25 yards or more. He's going to get his opportunity, but it's something to watch. I mean, if we're still going in and we're week 3 of the season, week 4, and we're still seeing on those consistently snaps going to DeMarcus Robinson, then I think we have to accept what it is. But I would actually at that point be a little concerned because I don't know about you. I know, Patrick Mahomes during camp said he thinks DeMarcus Robinson would be a number 1 wide receiver on another football team.
He did. Okay.
And DeMarcus Robinson, we know it was somewhat surprising. He came back to Kansas City this offseason after the market wasn't what everybody thought it was going to be for wide receivers. DeMarcus Robinson, we assume, I guess we learned our lesson a little bit with Sammy Watkins, but assume that DeMarcus Robinson won't be on the roster again next season. We'll see. And so
we don't assume so, but
long-term development though, Mecole Hardman, given what you've invested draft pick wise in him and where he is at in his age, you're hoping that Mecole Hardman, though, for you to all of a sudden be okay with Sammy Watkins, let's say, not being on the team next year, DeMarcus Robinson not being on the team next year, Mecole Hardman's got to get some of those opportunities.
Sure.
So that's the only part. Now, they can also go draft a wide receiver at some point as well. That's very possible.
Or pick up a free agent wide receiver.
Yeah, that was a surprising thing for me last night, though, Cody. I mean, Mecole Hardman, if you would have told me overall that snap differential would have been that between Robinson and Hardman for week 1 of the season, knowing the way that the Texans were also playing defensively, I was very surprised.
I would tell you, that's the thing. It's based on their investment, the idea and goal is that he develops into your number two wide receiver next year. But, I mean, they spent that kind of investment in Breland Speaks. And after, and I'm not saying Mecole Hardman's going anywhere. He's not getting cut. It's not like that. It's not that he's not good enough to be on this team. We saw the kind of explosiveness he has. But I can't know that the Chiefs trust Mecole Hardman until they prove to me they trust Mecole Hardman. Last year, when there were multiple injuries across the board, we know who they went to. Like, we know who they went to. Mecole Hardman got one pass thrown his way yesterday at a couple of targets. It's about the number Byron Pringle was sitting at by the time that game ended. So it's, I need to see that they trust him more. Now, maybe it's because he is still that big play threat, and yesterday wasn't a big play game, so Mecole Hardman didn't get the normal attention he normally would. But like you said, when he came on this show, and you can find the podcast of that up at 610sports.com, when he came on this show and talked about what he wanted to develop into, for him to be a number two wide receiver, you can't just be the guy who runs far and fast. You have to be. That's why they trust Sammy Watkins. It's where they trust DeMarcus Robinson, is the intermediate work. They got a guy who can tear the top off in Tyreek Hill, and it's nice sometimes when you got two guys who can do that. And Tyreek and Mecole Hardman, they need, and obviously Hill is a complete wide receiver, so please do not take it that way. But they need, they, you know, like, I need to see more from him over the next few weeks. The good news is, it is week one, like you mentioned, and I don't think they showed very much. So I'm not going to sweat it with Mecole Hardman yet. I just didn't think it was the most positive sign that he was used so little in game one.
I also wonder, just as a blocking as a wide receiver too, and how much that plays a role. By the way, last night.
In a heavy run game? Sure. You know,
Sammy Watkins, by the way, had a fantastic, there was one in particular that was highlighted.
Great little cut block.
Yeah, fantastic. That sprung things for Kansas City there. But also, you know, I just wonder, DeMarcus Robinson, as a run blocker when needed, as they're out there in the wide receiver spot, Mecole Hardman, just the difference maybe that you see there. But would you be surprised if next week we're talking about Mecole Hardman's got five catches and a touchdown and 75 yards receiving against the Chargers? No, I still
wouldn't. No, but
be.
He's still, like, he did that last year.
Exactly.
He's got to be more than boom or bust. He's got to be a guy that they target semi-regularly next year. This year, it's difficult because we talk about this with Chiefs, you know, like Serta, our fantasy guru, right? Or who, you know, like who Charge, who joins us on Thursdays. When we talk to them, they'll tell you that Charge told us this about owning Chiefs. So the problem with owning Chiefs players in fantasy is you don't know whose day it is. Like, because Tyreek Hill, until he caught that touchdown, didn't really do much fantasy.
Disappointing because, fantasy night otherwise.
But then he'll go through a six-game stretch where he's 80, 90, 140 yards. I just need to see that more consistently from Hardman to know that this is their direction it's going.
Random question.
I almost switched it up because we learned in the break about each other that we were talking
go
about
with that.
Speeding
go with that if you want.
Tickets. No, it's fine. Everybody's going to say they have had a speeding ticket. We saw someone get a speeding ticket, and Gold was stunned to learn that I had never had one.
Yeah, never really had a speeding ticket. You're the guy that likes to drive around with all four windows down, cruising around. Mm-hmm. I figured that would
I've had exactly two tickets in my life. One was for not wearing a seatbelt in Iowa, and one was for an improper left turn.
Also, not speeding.
During a time that you weren't apparently supposed to turn left. I was like a minute late or something.
Two for me. Two speeding
tickets.
You
can get tickets for that right out here down the street. I got a ticket for doing it over
Did
here.
Did you? I'm very
You're not
cautious
supposed to turn
now.
Left there after four.
Yeah, I'm very careful about it because I'm not looking to cause.
The last one I got was driving from Boise, Idaho to Las Vegas in the middle of the desert.
Last ticket I got was like 10 years ago.
Now, this was 4 years.
So. Yeah, I've never had a speeding
ticket. We saw somebody on Twitter, got a ticket.
I'm a rule follower. You're come to learn that about me. I like to follow the rules.
Okay.
But my random question is not that. I'll give this to you in the text line, 913-576-7610 at the Smitty's Garage Burger and Beer text line. Is it, it's hoodie weather. Serta, I'm in a hoodie, you're in a hoodie. We're all rocking it. The question is it okay to wear no t-shirt under your hoodie? Is that acceptable behavior? Well, I've heard a debate over this before.
Yeah.
And I wanted to take it to the text line and to YouTube to try to get a little opinion on this. Is it okay to wear no shirt underneath your hoodie?
Well, let's look around the room for a second. Cody, looks like you've got a t-shirt under there.
I do.
Okay. I do today. I can't tell from Serta from over here.
I have a V-neck on underneath. Okay.
Got the V-neck. So I wear the t-shirt under it now more than ever. I don't know why. I just made a switch. Before, if you would ask me this question 4 years ago, my take is, No, I've got the, I used to be no shirt under the hoodie guy, but I have changed. A lot of that has to do with the fact that the studio, the temperature fluctuation, I want to have the ability
to pull the hoodie off.
We got too many hot
takes
going.
But you're not saying it's,
it gets warm in here. You got to hop, you want to pop the hoodie off. If you don't have a shirt underneath, you're screwed. So that's why I go with the, I go with the shirt under.
But you're not saying it's unacceptable.
No, it's not unacceptable because I used to do it.
Yeah, so you're not wearing a t-shirt under your hoodie today because, oh, I might actually have to take this hoodie off. It's just because you grew up and decided to start wearing shirts under your hoodie.
No, it's because I want to have the flexibility. I don't know what does that
you
do with growing
that
up?
Flexibility.
Wait, you think
before?
That you're not an adult if you don't wear a t-shirt underneath?
I mean, I don't actually.
Oh, as a kid, for sure.
I don't actually have any issues with it. I would never do it.
Like you're telling
I wore a hoodie
me-
yesterday too. And I still had a t-shirt on underneath it. I would never, ever just put a hoodie on without
really?
Anything
like
on
this
it.
Weekend, let's
someone
say...
Someone says it's okay to not wear a shirt underneath it if you're a serial killer.
what about though this weekend? Assuming it's supposed to warm up, but let's say it's like the weather we've had recently. You get home from work, you've got some football on. Like tomorrow I'm going to watch some college football. Let's say it's cloudy, it's rainy out. Yeah, I'm on the couch. I wake up in the morning, I put on some sweats. I don't want to leave the house. I put on a hoodie. Why do I need to have a shirt on underneath the hoodie? I'm at home.
Nurse Jen says it's okay if you're lounging at home to not do it, but if you go out, you got to do it. Yeah. So she agrees with you in public situations. Somebody also said part of the idea behind wearing the t-shirt is that the hoodie's got more life. Like you don't have to wash that hoodie every time you wear it, Gold.
Oh, I don't wear
if you got the t-shirt. I wear a hoodie more than once.
It's like jeans to you. You wear the jeans.
I'll wear a hoodie. Yeah. I'm not saying I'll wear it eight times, but I'll wear a hoodie 2-3 times
you don't
before
just
it.
Hang the hoodie back up.
Oh, what?
No.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, like this hoodie, this Chiefs hoodie.
That's going in the wash?
Yeah, this won't be worn until it's clean again.
Like what I'm wearing today, this is just more of like a sweatshirt. Like I'm not going to wear this multiple times without washing it.
I absolutely wear a hoodie more than once.
Hoodies are the same as jackets. I'll wear them multiple times.
I guess the only exception for me would be what I describe. Like tomorrow, when I wake up tomorrow, there's a fairly decent chance this hoodie could still be on in the morning and I'd lounge around and watch some early college football in it. But that's it. Like I would not go to work 4 days from now wearing the same hoodie if it hadn't been washed. No, I wouldn't do that. It doesn't follow the same jean philosophy where you can get a couple uses out of the jeans.
Interesting. I mean, we could talk all about the jean usage, I thought for sure.
Someone on the text line says, I have chest hair that will get caught in the hoodie. I'll usually wear my hoodies a few times before washing them, so that might be too many loose hairs.
Seems like most people are on the fence, but it's most people think that it's unacceptable if in public to wear a hoodie with no t-shirt underneath.
Interesting.
Well, especially like
I certainly did it more when I was younger.
You could get away with it if it's an over the top, but if it's like a zip up,
that's criminal behavior.
But that, for sure,
I got real questions about
you
that.
You can't go quarter zip with no shirt on. You go commando with the quarter zip. That's weird. That's really weird even comfortable.
It's more jacket. I might do it if I was like running to the store for like one thing and in a hurry. But it's certainly not something I'm making a habit of.
I have a hoodie that's like what's that? What's those shirts with the buttons? Like Henley?
Yeah,
it's like a Henley hoodie.
Okay.
But I have done that before where like I was just wearing it at home without a shirt underneath and like run to the liquor store or something like that.
Someone's asking sort of who hangs their hoodies. I hang my hoodies. Is that not normal behavior?
This was on a hanger this morning until I threw it on. Yeah. I mean, you can obviously fold them.
I also hang a lot of clothes.
Same. I have a lot of jackets, so my hoodies and jackets go in the same coat closet.
Someone says Gold sleeps in a hoodie. No, I say you in the morning though. Like so, you go to bed and I don't go to bed with a shirt on usually, and so I'll wake up in the morning. But if I gotta let the dog out, I'll throw the hoodie on and I'll wear the hoodie in the morning.
Interesting. But you won't get a second use out of a hoodie,
other than what I just described, which is a quick in the morning while you're still waking up.
Yeah,
you gotta
you're
throw
eventually
something
ditching
on.
That but, for a second.
This won't be worn outside of the house tomorrow.
I think you're doing yourself a disservice. You're really like you could.
You
from
think
an
I can
environmental
get by with
perspective alone, I think you should be rocking the hoodie like
at least
twice.
You think I wash clothes too much now?
I think you wash your hoodie too much, yeah? How often do you wash your jeans? How many uses?
I got quite a few pair of jeans, so it kind of rotates. I don't know how many exact. Probably 3 uses out of it, max.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not
a bad number.
I probably have like 6 go-to pairs of pants that I just kind of rotate until I do laundry. But I do laundry like every week.
Someone does bring a good point. They said hoodies are like jackets or jeans. Unless you wear them around a campfire or fire pit, you wear them. You wash like 2-3 times a month max on that. That's true. If you're doing some grilling, the hoodie, then it gets you can't do some charcoal grilling or smoking or whatever, and then and have to wear the hoodie the next day. Otherwise, I told you that one day I came in, I still smelled like the fire from the, it still smelled like barbecue. I had the jeans that I wore the day before, and it wasn't good.
It's hoodie weather. We got to pay attention now. You now know the rules after having our random question.
Carrington will
tell
you all about hoodie weather. He's been handing out advice to everybody about...
mostly just not about losing your hoodie.
Keep track of the hoodies, man.
That's mostly, that's a common theme for Carrington. He's really, he's lost too many hoodies or something. He's like traumatized from years of losing them. And he's trying to make sure that everybody else maintains their certain number over the years.
So that's the random question of the day. Coming up at 1 o'clock, we'll go around the NFL, full slate, what, 15 more games to go this weekend for the National Football League. Cannot wait for that. We'll also have some picks for the weekend. We'll get you those in the 1 o'clock hour. But you're wondering about the balance of the Chiefs offense after one game?
Well, not so much. I think the question is, I'm trying to tell people to calm down. I think there's some people who like wanted to be like, what is this version of the Chiefs offense? I don't like it nearly as much as the fun version of it because it was a lot more balanced, right? They were pretty much equal run pass. They didn't do anything like, and let's take even out the deep end. They were pretty much equal run pass and they used the run in first and second down situations where they wouldn't commonly, they were the least pass. They were the least run heavy team on first and second down last year. They ran on first and second down multiple times yesterday, which most analytically minded people will tell you is a bad way to start a drive and a really easy way to be ineffective on offense. And for the people who say that, my simple answer is this is not who the Chiefs offense is. My simple answer is what you saw last night is not the actual Chiefs offense. That is the boring version. That is the plain, let's settle on, you know, Olive Garden versus trying something
when you got against
more
Olive Garden,
exotic.
Huh? When you got against Olive Garden.
It's just breadsticks, middle of salad. The road. It's run of the mill. Uh-huh. It's,
I gotcha.
It's the safe play. Do you see what I'm saying? Olive Garden's the safe play. That's actually nice. That's a compliment to Olive Garden, if you think about it. I'm saying they're a safe play. That's what the Chiefs offense was last night. Nothing they did offensively last night should scare you. Because, one, they scored 34 points. But it shouldn't scare you that they're changing who they are offensively because I think that they just did it that way because they could.
As we've talked all show, last night was one of those games where you just felt like you were on almost cruise control in terms of your play calling and in a positive way. But when you look at how they played it, I just look at one particular guy and one particular stat. And it's what Clyde did last night and specifically, though, the amount of carries. Like Clyde, he's going to have plenty of performances like that, but I don't think we're going to see a ton of 25 carries. We know Andy Reid at some point. How many times are we going to see him handing the ball off 25 times, let alone to one guy? And so that's why, yeah, last night, if you're saying, oh, are they going to
be a first and second down run team?
Are they going to be more of a run team? No, I'm not concerned about. They might a couple games this year. Yeah, a couple games this year. I think next week we see possibly a complete reversal in what the game plan looks like, just to throw some other stuff out there before they get set for the Patriots and Ravens and all that. But yeah, like last night, and I think the texter points out a great way to describe it is it was almost preseason like in the way they approached the offensive play calling. You did enough to get to do what you needed to do, and it's
got
weird.
Some work in
they,
fellas.
It's funny they got some work in, and they still were up 31-7. that's why that's how dangerous and unguardable they're going to be this year, because it wasn't even really what they're going to try to do probably on a regular basis, and they still didn't have the full arsenal really rolling last night.
No, and that's exactly it. Just preseason game is actually, thank you, text line. That's a really good way to describe it, because it was just laissez-faire. I think people worry because they've been at the forefront of what you would call like efficiency plays for multiple years. Patrick Mahomes has made them a more efficient offense because they pass in situations you should pass in that a lot of teams run in, and they ran in those games. They ran in those situations last night, but it's a one-off. This isn't who they are. Trust what you've seen with your eyes for the last two seasons of the Chiefs offense, long before you trust what one game against the Texans in which they didn't even have to try hard.
The one thing that's consistent is we always talk, if you're going to predict how the game's going to go, if you're picking the Chiefs to score fewer than 30 points, you're probably doing something wrong. History would tell us that, and it was close last night, but they had 31, and they get that late field goal to get it to 34. That's why if you're looking at the Chiefs all year, it's hard to imagine them any game. Even last night is a perfect example where they weren't doing everything efficiently offensively the way you know that they could have, and they still scored 34 points. Like, to keep them under 30 is going to be nearly impossible, which is why we're talking about them having a historically good offense.
Last minute.
The New England Patriots are taking care of one of their top players without adding any years to his deal. According to Ian Rappaport, the Patriots are giving Stephon Gilmore a $5 million raise. He'll now make $15.5 million this season with another $2 million if he repeats as Defensive Player of the Year. This is immediately following the Jalen Ramsey contract and Tre'Davious White contract, which quickly made Stephon Gilmore underpaid.
Should we be giving Stephon Gilmore the MVP this year for getting Bill Belichick to pay him when he didn't have to?
Well, he can thank all the guys
that
opted out.
This is like seeing a unicorn in the wild, Alex. Even with the guys opting out, Bill Belichick doesn't pay people as a favor. This was a favor payment.
He doesn't, but man, this is an adjustment. As Curtis said, it's not adding more years to the contract, and they've got so much cap space. I think that's a
they can have for next year.
They're still good. It's not like they.
If this was a normal team, I would not be making nearly as big a deal. But this is Bill Belichick. He doesn't just pay people to pay him.
He's one of the best.
I guess maybe he's banking on him signing a long term extension after this. He's just trying to keep him happy, but that's weird.
I guess so. Yeah, I mean, he's one of the best defensive players in football. And the minute you saw two of your peers, if you're Gilmore, you go back to your agent and say, wait a second here. Can we not do something to get taken care of without having to come with a brand new contract? And certainly good for him. And you're right. It's not typically an organization that pays guys early or pays guys when they don't have to be paid. But if you're going to do it on that roster, is Stephon Gilmore is the guy you're doing it with. No question about that.
I don't know if that team's going to be 6 wins or 10. Of all the teams in the NFL I don't have a feel for, they're the worst. I just don't have any feel for the Patriots at all.
Yeah, you have them as a wild
card. Belichick versus what their roster tells me. Their roster tells me 6 to 7 wins. Belichick tells me 10 to 11, and I just don't know what to do.
Cam's going to be awesome.
I've never heard Bill Belichick talk up a player more than what he did last weekend.
He's talking about the girl, the model he's dating now that he broke up with you. Some of this is like breakup. Trying to make the last person envious of you, though. Let's face that.
I think that's fair as well. Hey, coming up next, we head into the 1 o'clock hour. We go around the NFL. 15 games still to go. Week 1 of the NFL season. Also, Ben Heisler joins us from SI Gambling.
Cody and Gold. Weekdays 10 to 2. 610 Sports Radio.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.